This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9 and in Sydney on Star Observer Digital, your sex, sexuality and gender diverse digital radio station. Get into contact with us, text in on 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au.
Or you can call 1300 Joy 949.
But who has telephones anyway?
Yeah, exactly. It's all about the texts and emails. Now, for many young LGBTIQ people of faith, reconciling their rainbow identity with their faith can be a confronting and trying period. And for our next guest, Alina Mahmoudali, this was a facet of her life as a young queer woman that weighed heavily on her mind and put pressure on her family and her faith. She contributed to the book Coming of Age, Growing Up Muslim in Australia, and shared her story of courage, sexuality, and self. Thank you so much for joining us in the Gen Next studio.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, well, we're full of questions tonight.
Just punching out microphones, actually.
You just gave me such an intense stare that we just kind of locked eyes for a little bit. So in the opening of your story, you talk about seeing a skater and knowing that the woman you saw on screen was the girl that you wanted to marry. What were some of the thoughts you had following that revelation?
I think for me at the time, and I think this is probably familiar to anyone who might be 14, 15 years old, if you're living in a world where being heterosexual is all that you know and all that you're told and all that you see, if you suddenly then one day are just watching TV and someone, and it happens to be a woman, the same sex as you, appears on screen and you suddenly have this feeling that, oh my God, she's so beautiful, I want to spend the rest of my life with her, then I think at that very same moment, It's not surprising that I also felt sudden shame and confusion and completely vulnerable because you don't do that, you know? I knew that right away. You don't marry women.
Mm. Mm. That would be quite confronting, and especially, yeah, definitely at that age, because it puts a large amount of pressure on yourself for something that you can't really control.
You can't not... And it's not even... And, well... Yes, you can't control it, but it's even more scary when you think that even the thought could be such a terrible thing, that no one's had this thought but you. You're the only one in the whole entire world who suddenly had this thought.
It's just like when someone says, don't think of an elephant, and that's all you can think about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had you actually had any exposure to any skate culture like that? I know it's on a bit of a tangent, but, you know, if you had have directly dealt with any girls that you thought were really beautiful, it might have...
Well... If I make you Google her, you'll be like, unfortunately right now you get, I hate the internet, you get soft porn images of her, which is terrible.
No.
Absolutely terrible, especially because she's in her 40s now. Ugh. but jokes aside, no offence to older listeners. Just offend everyone over 40 just now.
We don't even talk to them on Generation. No kidding.
Don't say the F word.
No.
But no. Because she was an ice skater and she was your traditional pretty girl next door, black, long black flowing hair and piercing eyes, tall, stunning, very beautiful, pretty German woman. And the irony is it's the least attractive woman I find nowadays. Far from that, I've moved. But at that time, I just found her so stunningly beautiful and I'd never seen a woman that had just caught me like that.
Mm. And in your coming of age story, you speak of scrubbing yourself a desperate red. And later in your contribution, you mention other young queer Muslims self-harming. Do you think that growing up in a religious family or being a person of faith exasperates internalized homophobia?
That's a really, really good question, because the first part of it, trying to cleanse yourself of that feeling, definitely comes from the fact that you've been raised in a faith that's told you. So this means you've not found this out yourself. You've been told by everyone that you're wrong, that what you're thinking or what you're is a sin. Like, you need to stop it. So of course, and it's like that elephant analogy, you can't stop it. So you try to make yourself clean or pure. And I think that, yes, that if you have religion dictated to you or told to you or given to you, then you don't have a space where you can challenge that and argue against it. So as a young person, I think it's really confronting and really difficult, because how do young people have a voice to argue against what they're being told by anyone who claims to know better than them?
Yeah, absolutely.
That it's gotten heavy, guys.
Yeah.
Now, can you share with us in the studios and our listeners what life was like for yourself growing up same-sex attracted in a Muslim household?
See, first of all, I have to say that my parents, well, mother, because my family was quite traditional in that dad didn't talk about sex to his girls. And I think that's the case for most dads. They just don't talk about sex to their girls. They talk about that to their boys. But
Some do, totally.
And, hey, I'll be talking to our sons. But I think because mum had really open conversations with my sister and myself about sexuality, and she was all about when you find someone, bring them to the house, we will then bless your union, you'll get married and have sex. Like, she was really comfortable with talking to us about it. But it was all about when you get married, because that's what Islam says. Islam actually celebrates heterosexual love. It doesn't believe in celibacy. It thinks celibacy is wrong.
And unnatural.
Well, that's just it. That's the irony. It says, no, you must get married. It doesn't even believe that any of their clerics, like any of the people who teach Islam, should remain celibate. It says that you need to be able to control desire by giving in to desire, as long as you're married.
Which is very interesting. And so with restrictions.
And even with marriage in Islam, it's a civil contract.
Absolutely. So you don't have, it doesn't have to be done in a mosque. It doesn't have all these stipulations that come with it. There are certain rules, but it's really interesting, because it's a great example of equality before the law. Like, two people decide to join in union, and yeah, and they can break that contract. Either party can break that contract. The problem is that there's been no space for queer marriage.
Hey, Elena, look, are you able to stick around for a tick?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Hey, we've got more of Generation Next and this incredible chat coming up in a tick. And make sure you text in on 0427-JOY949.
Hey, what's up? This is Maya, and you are listening to Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, JOY94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.